to thank you for being on the show and also remind everybody again that you're going to be facilitating one of the breakouts at the Women's Leadership Summit, which is really an amazing event that they have every year. This is the seventh one. Michelle Sekirka, who's just an awesome, awesome person and the president of NJBIA and CEO, is going to be the keynote speaker that day, along with a lot of other talented individuals who are sharing their expertise, just like you did today. Connie, is there anything else you'd like to say before it's time to go?
No, I would just like to thank you so much for having me on today. I enjoyed our conversation, and to encourage your listeners to check out the summit. It is an amazing event, and you.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Harvey Strong.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz scores a big win in Wisconsin. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt reports.
A big victory lap in Wisconsin for Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He trounced Donald Trump and John Kasich in the state's Republican primary. Cruz used his victory speech to project confidence in the voting of two other states.
In the coming days, when Colorado and Wyoming finish voting, we are likely to have gained over 100 delegates on Donald Trump.
Yeah. Cruz added the win shows Republicans across the country there's a real alternative to Donald Trump. I'm Jason Wirt.
Presidential candidate Donald Trump is making harsh accusations against Cruz after losing the primary in Wisconsin. The Trump campaign releasing a terse statement accusing Cruz of illegally coordinating with his own super PAC, which Trump says is spending millions of dollars on false advertising attacking him. This is USA Radio News, breaking news on USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
Talented people, I'm Jeannie Murphy. Good afternoon. It's 4:05 or 4:04 actually already on April 6th. I am going to give you the weather update. If you happen to be listening in the central New Jersey area today, the detailed forecast, partly sunny this afternoon with a high about 50. Tonight, a chance of showers after 5 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low about 40. Thursday, rain before 2 p.m., then showers and possibly a thunderstorm mainly after 2 with a high near 60. Thursday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low about 39. Friday, chance of showers after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 52. Mostly cloudy on Friday night with a low about 30, and then a chance of showers on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 47. And then same through the night of Saturday, mostly cloudy with a low about 24, which is crazy. Thought we got rid of that. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 47, and then Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of 29. Monday is going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 56. We're going to go to our quick break, and then I want to introduce you to a conversation that I'm going to have right now. Actually, you might know Ruth Ann Brown because she has a show here on 100 and Chamber Radio, Celebration of a Lifetime. And she's also going to be speaking at, again, what we're featuring this month is the Women's Leadership Summit 2016, which is happening here, brought to you by a number of sponsors, Unity Bank, 100 and Radiology Associates, and Plumbing Remodeling, and our friends forever, Ameriprise Financial, Pat and Heidi and Associates, on, again, April 19th by the 100 and County Chamber of Commerce at the Ryland Inn in White House Station, New Jersey. There's still time to sign up. We'll be right back. It's from 8 to 2. Stand by. We're going to just take a quick break, and we'll be back with talented people.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for listening in. This is Talented People. It's already April. It's April 6th at 4:08 precisely, and I hope you're having a great day. We appreciate you listening in so much here on the show, streaming live across the nation from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Studios in Flemington, New Jersey. And we have a special guest in studio today. Again, her name is Ruth Ann Brown. She's with Celebration of a Lifetime, and she's a life celebrant. And if you want to look her up while we're going along here in the conversation, you can go to celebrationoflifetime.com on the internet. We'd be happy to introduce you a little bit more to her. So welcome to the show, Ruth Ann.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. This is just really nice. I love coming to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. It's like a second home.
Feels like house. Yeah.
Yeah. Home. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And just FYI, that's Celebration of a Lifetime.
Oh, good. That's a great
.com.
Okay.
So feel free to swing by there and check me out. But it's been wonderful developing a business and having Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce helping me in that effort and getting the word out that there's a totally different way to do ceremonial work today. Mm-hmm. For years, we've had a different kind of relationship with our community. Back in the 60s, we had a very tight relationship with our families. We lived in the same town, oftentimes in the same house. And we all went to church together or synagogue together every week. And we had a very strong relationship with clergy. So anytime we needed anything that had to do with ceremony, we had somebody to go to. And that was a very strong relationship. It was expected on both sides of the fence. We wouldn't think of going to anyone else. And they knew that, that they were going to be the one taking care of everything for us. But today, our community is so much different because our families are not living in the same town anymore. They're getting promoted and getting cross-countryed and living all over the country and in different countries. And they're just not as geographically close together anymore. So they aren't doing as many things together anymore. And the idea of having a family plot isn't necessarily important anymore because we aren't going there every weekend to go visit our ancestors who died before us, where before that was ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Now it just doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we are so fractured geographically, and because we aren't doing a lot of things together, one of the other things we aren't doing together is attending a house of worship. And a lot of things have invaded that time slot for us. Soccer practice happens. Grocery shopping, doing all the errands, the little fix-up things around the house, because our schedules, our work schedules have totally changed, and we don't have a Monday through Friday schedule anymore. There are some people working 6-7 days a week, and it just, it takes your time. So you fit in what you can when you can, and if your schedules don't overlap one place that you can have family time, great. But a lot of families have their schedules all overlapped each other, and family doing stuff as a unit is just not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And going to a house of worship is much like going to a gym. If you haven't been in a while, it's easy to just get out of the habit of going. And maybe you'll go on the high holy days or the strong Christian holidays or whatever and show up for that particular event, but the rest of the year isn't important. And because of that, we don't have those strong ties with clergy that we used to have. So when the time comes that somebody's getting married or somebody dies or somebody needs to be christened, it's like, now what do we do? And who do we call? And do we contact the clergy and feel shamed that we haven't been sitting in a pew in a long time? Or do we even get to call them at all because we don't have a relationship?
That's an interesting question. Honestly, that is so interesting because I know a lot of people out there are relating to it. You know, it's like what happens when you do fall out of it and then all of a sudden you're there. You might be a little inspired at the moment because someone passed away or it's been some important occasion,
yeah,
and you feel connected and then there's some serenity or so to being there. And then what are your options if you've been out of there? And do you feel shameful or guilt or all of that?
And the challenge with that is my work started in funerals, and you're already in grief.
Yeah.
And now you're given the option of being in guilt also. So that's a double whammy for anyone.
I really want to talk more about this, and it's already time for our first break here. It's 4:13 on April 6th. It's Talented People here. We're going to go to a quick break because I want to focus for the next 10 minutes straight on what Ruth Ann Brown is talking about from Celebration of a Lifetime. Hopefully you got a little taste of that medicine, and we're going to go into the heart of it, learn more about exactly who she is and why she's doing this and exactly what she's doing. So stay with us. It's a quick break. It's probably less than 2 minutes long at the most, just two. So stand by. We'll be right back, and thanks for listening, Talented People.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. Good afternoon. I hope, as usual, every week I always say, I hope you're having a great week. But I just didn't want to repeat that again today. I just want to figure out a different way to say it. So thanks for listening. We're doing it again. And I just want you to know I really do appreciate it. And so does my business partner, Colleen Kelly, from Mariah Media and Hunterdon County Woman and Talented People. And this is our show. So right now we're talking with Ruth Ann Brown, Celebration of a Lifetime. She actually has an event coming up, and she's going to be one of the breakouts sessions along with Judy Gold from Coldwell Banker Residential at the Women's Leadership Summit 2016, being held on Tuesday, April 19th, 8 to 2 at the Ryland Inn and White House Station. You could just go to huntertonchamber.org to find out more information and sign up. I want to get right back to our conversation with Ruth Ann, because you were talking about some interesting things, what you do and who you are.
Right.
Before we get into the funeral home, tell us a little bit about you and who are you, and then what are you doing?
Wow. That's a big mouthful of stuff. But I grew up in a funeral home. I'm a funeral director's daughter.
Wow.
And we had two funeral homes here in New Jersey, one in Moorestown down in Burlington County, and one in Lakehurst in Ocean County. And we lived upstairs, a family of eight, and talk about keeping control of six kids over a funeral home.
I can't even imagine. My sister parents, had nine kids.
My so parents are miracle workers.
I guess so. Yeah, I know. I can imagine keeping them quiet. You have a very soft voice, too.
Well, you have to learn that.
I bet.
Yeah. We were trained at an early age how to speak quietly.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Library voices.
And it was an interesting upbringing.
Your whole life?
My whole life was in the funeral home.
Okay.
And when you grow up in a funeral home, you get to learn at an early age what compassion is, what sorrow is, what respect is. It's very interesting, the things that you're able to learn as a child when you grow up in an environment where people are emotionally distressed and grieved. So it gives you a certain perspective to go out in the world with. Now, when I left home to go to college.
What? Let me ask you, what age, where were you in the lineup of the kids?
I'm number
four kids?
I'm
four,
number three.
You're number three of four children.
I'm the oldest girl.
Okay, oldest girl.
Okay. I'm the oldest girl of six kids.
Okay, six kids. Okay, so
yeah,
eight in the family.
Six kids.
Okay, gotcha.
Eight people in the family, six kids. And I'm the number three, the oldest girl.
Okay.
And I went to school to be an art teacher. I had no inclination toward the funeral home at all. In fact, by seventh grade, I had made a proclamation that I would never marry a funeral director, because I wanted regular vacation time and regular pay.
I guess that doesn't happen much in that field, huh?
No. We never went more than an hour away from the funeral home because somebody might need us.
Right.
And you can't say, I'm sorry, I'm 3 hours away. I'll get there as soon as I can.
Yikes.
Especially if somebody has died at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very available. Taking a vacation, you can't say, don't anybody die for 2 weeks. We're going to the shore. It doesn't happen. So we had very unusual circumstances to grow up in that Dad went back and forth from our shore house. We would rent a place down at the shore, and he would come back and forth as his schedule allowed. So we have pictures of us sitting on the beach with Dad in a three-piece black suit.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I got
to
find this picture, but I remember taking that picture.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole different world, like our listeners and me. I'm thinking about it like, oh, my gosh, you know, to be one of six kids living above a funeral home, having to learn how to be quiet, respectful, like you say, respect and all of the personalities of what's going on with the guests. And then
being a kid.
And
the dynamics that happen between six kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, if you grow up on a farm, on a dairy farm, you milk cows.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow up in a funeral home, you learn how to clean toilets and wash windows and vacuum and arrange chairs in neat rows.
Oh, boy.
And then when you're old enough, you learn how to stand at the door and greet people politely. Ask them to sign the guest register.
Ew.
Show them where the bathroom is and where the water pitcher is.
You don't learn to embalm or anything yet, do you?
Not as a child, no.
As an adult,
As an adult, if you
go to... Is that a trade, like a certification thing?
You go to school for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so, but I wasn't
sure. It's not a hobby.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And as a kid, I can't imagine having to grow into, like, you know, most kids babysit for their family and that kind of stuff.
But it's not like learning how to bake a cake with mom. No.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah. No, Dad did hobby things with the boys. Yeah.
Did he?
They did the Indian guides and all that
stuff.
Oh,
did they? Okay, sure. That's good. Okay.
When his schedule allowed it, he was there, you know. And because he worked downstairs from where we lived, we saw our father a lot more than a lot of kids.
That's true. What about your mom? What did she do?
My mom had six kids that she raised.
Mm-hmm.
That
was enough.
Yeah, that was, her hands were full.
Mm-hmm.
And she did her very best at bringing us all up with good, strong values and good manners. And when we went out to dinner, people would come by our table and congratulate mom and dad on the lovely family because we all learned how to be polite.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
It is.
So anyway, I made this vow in seventh grade that I wasn't going to marry a funeral director. And I went to, I got out of high school and I didn't want to go to a college. I wanted to get married, have children, and make great chocolate chip cookies and be a den mother and join the PTA. I had this all Donna Reed thing figured out.
That's hysterical.
And my father said, no, I want you to go to college and get a trade. You know, you need a vocation to fall back on in case, God forbid, anything happens in your life where you need to be working.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what to do, and I loved art class. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to school and teach the world how to draw a face. And I studied portrait art and got sidetracked while I was in college and felt an actual pulling in my heart that I belonged in funeral service. And I didn't understand this pulling in my heart until I got into funeral service. I called Dad and said, guess what? I said, I'm gonna follow in your footsteps. Well, he almost had a coronary.
Wow.
Because I'm not the one you would have figured.
Mm-hmm. Did any of your other brothers and sisters stay in the field?
I had an older brother that went in because the number one son didn't go in. The number two son felt guilty that somebody should follow in Dad's footsteps. So he went in. And then when I went in, after I got licensed, then he felt a reprieve and he went on to things that were of more interest to him.
Then did you take over your family's two?
I worked with my dad for 5 years, and then I ran off to travel out west with my then husband and designed and built my own funeral home.
Oh, let's hear.
And
tell us about that.
That was a real experience. Well, that gave me the opportunity to work for other people first off.
Okay.
Because I wasn't working under Dad anymore. I was working for other people, and I worked for a very large firm where I got a lot of experience that I wouldn't have never had in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for a couple years, and then I drew some blueprints and petitioned the SBA and was able to build my own facility, hammered some nails and stained some wood and used a lot of paint.
Isn't it like 7,000 square feet or something?
7,000 square feet.
That's a tremendous size.
It's a large place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And where is that at?
And that's in New Mexico.
Okay.
So I built that place and ran it in the black the first year, which is unheard of.
Yeah, it is. For almost any industry.
But I had a boom town at that time, and anybody who came into town after the door was open, I was the establishment. So that would work to my favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to create a good business, helping the community with the style of funeral that they were used to, because most of them were transplants from the Northeast.
Okay.
So Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, all retired out there, mm-hmm. and this was what they were used to. And in New Mexico, they had a different way of conducting business in mortuaries. We were used to the name funeral home up here, and they were used to the name mortuary down there. And they would open at 9 o'clock in the morning, close at 9 o'clock at night. And whoever they were serving at that time, the body would be prepared and laid in state, put on view in a special room immediately. And then people would come to the mortuary, find out what room to go to, and go see the body.
And was it like the same as like a funeral home that in the traditional Northeast, like was it laid out like it was the little, same thing, it like was chairs?
It was a little different because these staterooms were like a living room. Mm-hmm. And there was a casket with flowers around it, a guest register, and a sofa. And you'd go in and the family would not necessarily be there. The family would be at home. And if you wanted to pay respects to them, you would go to their home.
That's kind of nice. I like it.
It's a little annoying to me because if I'm grieving and I go home, I want to be able to relax and take my shoes off, maybe take a nap. Mm-hmm. But if you're home and during the time of mourning, everybody keeps coming to your door.
Oh, that I can imagine. It's like having a baby and people bugging you on the first day. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then the day of the funeral, the casket would be moved to an actual chapel with pews. Mm-hmm. And they'd have a service there. And everything else was pretty much the same. But funeral processions, on the whole, had a lead limousine, a hearse, and then a family limousine. And the lead limousine had pallbearers in it. And there were motor escorts to help large funerals go to the cemetery. So it was very, very formal in that regard. But when I opened my funeral home, I brought the visiting hours from the Northeast with me, and we had visiting from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9.
What is the difference? Sorry.
Well, out there, they were used to 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and the family wasn't necessarily there. Mm-hmm. With 2 to 4 and 7 to 9, the family shows up during those hours. You know you're going to see them. Mm-hmm. And people pay attention to how they're dressed when they walk in the door because they know they're going to be seen.
The family's going to be there.
And in the other environment, they walk in, come as you are, depending on what they're doing in their day. They might be out shopping or they may be stopping by in the middle of work or whatever. And it's not necessarily important how you look because people aren't necessarily going to see you.
Right.
But it's more of a social event included with doing 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 because you're coming in and you're interacting
it's
with other
respectful.
People.
You could see
and you're sharing
it.
Stories. Mm-hmm. And
do they still have the traditional 9 to 9? In New Mexico and other places, or have you changed?
Know if there is anybody that's still doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I'm just curious because it does make sense. I mean, when I was visualizing what you were saying from 9 to 9, I was thinking of like Gone with the Wind and a parlor where someone's laid out. It's almost in a home, though, not necessarily outside the home. And yes, you're right. People would be interrupting the grieving process. You're certainly the expert on that. And then when you did actually change it and it had to become much more respectful as far as what people were wearing and everything else. I just want to remind everybody that I'm talking to you, Ruth Ann Brown. We're having a conversation. She's actually with Celebration of a Lifetime. That's her business. And you can look on the website at celebrationofalifetime.com. And also that she's a celebrant. So we're learning about that. Go ahead. I just want to make sure everybody knows they're up to date.
Thank you. Well, the thing that was nice about being a funeral director, I married it to what I was doing in college in art school, studying portrait art. Mm-hmm. So my portrait art was transferred to a human canvas. And the deceased was able to look good and pleasant because of my skills in art class.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, dead people don't look good. Mm-hmm. When you die, you don't necessarily have a good expression on your face. Mm-hmm. You don't have good color. And it is difficult to feel comfortable around a dead person for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But through the embalming process, we're able to change the appearance of the person and bring color back into their skin that's lost.
How do you do that?
There are... Well, the embalming process itself has a transfusion involved, which can involve dyes that bring the color back into the skin. And then there are cosmetics that you can use to even out the skin tone and make the person look as natural as possible. And honestly, if you have somebody who's in a hospital bed with a lot of machines attached to them and they're in pain, it's not an easy last picture for the family. Mm-hmm. So to be able to take them and transform them into a healthy appearance and put them in their regular clothes and clean and brush their hair into a nice hairstyle that they enjoyed. Those things make the transition much better. To be able to see the person looking okay helps to comfort the person left behind, to know that the pain isn't there anymore and that it's okay to let go of the pain. Sometimes we just keep carrying that pain around.
Because and they remember the last time they saw them.
Yeah, it's a hard thing.
Did you kind of migrate into this from being a funeral director? How did you end up?
For the work that I'm doing now?
Yes.
Yes. Because when I left New Mexico and came back to New Jersey, I worked for a lot of different funeral homes here, developing branch offices and different departments within the funeral homes. And then I did have an unfortunate time at the end of the 1990s where I had a series of car accidents. And I got rear-ended 3 times in a year.
Yourself. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And nobody was on a cell phone, just so people know. Mm-hmm. People just weren't paying attention to the vehicle that they were driving and the vehicles around them. You really need to be aware that you're driving something strong. But I got rear-ended 3 times in a year. I had major back surgery. And then a month out of back surgery, I had somebody hydroplane into an intersection in front of me while I was crossing it. And I T-boned them. And I ended up having a fusion in my neck as well.
Oh, no.
We did 2 shoulders, a hand, and a knee. And it changed myself physically so that it's just not wise for me to be in a funeral home environment on a regular basis. Because I do things on autopilot that I shouldn't do.
Like what?
Lift.
Okay.
And 90% of being a funeral director is lifting.
Oh.
Between caskets and flowers and chairs and bodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an awful lot of lifting involved. And most of it is behind the scenes and the public doesn't see it.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you. I know it might sound a little weird, but I think our listeners are asking me to ask you this. What kind of departments are, like you said, you worked in many different funeral homes. Like, what kind of a department do funeral
homes
have?
Well, a lot of funeral homes are developing pre-need departments where they have staff that is specifically focused on helping people making their funeral arrangements in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be funded or not, but it's a wonderful gift to give your family.
Does that mean that the person themselves are planning their own? Okay.
So are their families planning because they know mom or dad is not going to last too much longer? They may only be here another 6 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to put this down now on paper before they die and we're in grief.
Mm-hmm.
When you make decisions for a business transaction, it's always better to do it when you have a steadier emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are healthy to go in and make funeral pre-arrangements, it doesn't obligate you to anything at all. It just puts your thoughts down in a file. So when the time comes that your family needs that information, all the statistical data is there. And a lot of people don't know mother's maiden name of the deceased. Okay, so if you're talking about the mother of the household dies, what is mother's mother's maiden name?
Wow.
Because you're taking a birth certificate.
I don't know my mother's mother's maiden name.
You're taking a birth certificate and completing the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So to have all that information statistically on a file is wonderful for the family. To have options on the file that the person feels comfortable with, like, if I die, this is kind of where I'd like you to go. You know, I would feel comfortable if you did this. And that can solve a world of challenges for a family that has several children that all have several ideas.
Yikes. I can just picture that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it solves a lot of problems. And you can prepay for your funeral and have the money put into a trust account managed by the State Funeral Directors Association. The money is kept in a separate account. No one has access to it until the person dies, you know. And that's a wonderful thing because if you change your idea about where the funeral is being held, the money will go to a different funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
The funeral home that has the death certificate that can present it will be the one that the funds are given to. So if you have a disagreement with a funeral home, or if somebody else opens up in town and you like that one better, or if you move to another area or out of state, the money follows you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, it does seem meanwhile, like a good plan.
Meanwhile, it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And New Jersey has wonderful consumer laws that protect that money so that it can't be taken out and spent by anyone.
Hmm.
And other states don't necessarily have that availability. Some funeral homes are able to spend a portion of the money in other states.
Wow.
But not in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So if for any reason you want your money back, you can have your money back.
That's really incredible.
And it's protected. The only time you wouldn't get your money back is if it were put into what is referred to as an irrevocable account. And that would be if you were spending down for Medicaid purposes.
Okay.
And that money would be earmarked for funeral expenses only.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would be able to receive it until the death happens. And when the death happens, the amount of money that is due the funeral home will be paid to them. And any money that might be left over would go back to Medicaid.
Interesting. That's a whole nother story.
That is.
And thank you for sharing that, because it is interesting. I'm sure the listeners out there and myself and those who listen to the downloads and archives later are going to say, wow, I never thought about this business, never thought about any of that. And it's important too. But like, let's get back to you for a second again, Ruth Ann Brown. So you're now focusing on really using your art talent, that was what you went to school for, college,
right,
after school, to present the bodies after you were a funeral director to the most positive, to make the family celebrate. And
now see, but I've transitioned from that.
All right, let's see.
So initially I used it to make the person look like themselves.
Okay.
Okay. And I still have skills in that, and I still enjoy that work. When I built my funeral home, I made the room look like the person. I brought things into the room where they were laid out to identify them. I asked the family to bring things into the room to help me to decorate the room so that when people walked in, they felt like they were in that person's space.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another kind of portraiture.
And that was in New Mexico, or is
yes,
that here? Okay, great.
And then when I came back to New Jersey, I was working for other people and helping them develop their funeral homes. And then I had these accidents. Now I had to reinvent myself because lifting is not a part of my forte anymore. And the celebrant movement came. Now, celebrant work is creating a service that is portrait work, but it's done with words.
Okay.
So I paint a portrait with words now and create a service or ceremony that people can come to, and they don't come to the service by accident. You know, one time I went to a cemetery where in a chapel in the cemetery, there was a casket with a clergyman standing at the head of it with a collar and a prayer book. And he said a whole service and never mentioned the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that I knew that I was at the right place was because I recognized two people on the other side of the chapel.
That's interesting.
And had I not recognized them, I wouldn't know if I was at Mrs. Smith's funeral or Mr. Jones's.
Right. Nescafe coffee replacement.
Crazy.
Yeah, they've been, you know, my age down there.
And there are some.
Yeah, you're right. I've been to a couple funerals recently, and it's absolutely true. It's generic.
So many like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I feel like you didn't live the same life. You shouldn't have to have the same service.
It's great.
You shouldn't sound like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you aren't like anyone else.
Can you give us an example of your differentiator?
Okay. Well, let me just tell you where the celebrant movement started. It was in New Zealand. It's very mainstream in New Zealand. Went into Australia, and it came to this country in the Northwest, in Washington area, went down the West Coast, and it's still kind of new wave on the East Coast, even though I've been doing it for 10 years.
Really?
I'm still on the front of the wave.
Wow.
Because it's like turning the tide, Mary, with tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But this
makes total sense, though.
Yeah,
my God.
It's a storytelling service, mm-hmm, and you talk about who the person is, mm-hmm, where they come from, the relationships that they've created, and why everybody's in the room.
Do you ask?
I interview.
You interview. That's cool.
Yeah, I interview the family. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, there, different celebrants will interview different ways. Some will go to the family home and sit in the living room and talk to the entire family in one sitting. And I used to do that, but I've come to feel that if you go into a setting like that, the stronger ones will out-talk the quiet ones.
Yeah, of course.
And the quiet ones won't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So now I do individual phone calls to the immediate family.
Neat.
And I let them tell me their story one-on-one. And then I weave their stories together on a timeline and give the whole thing at the funeral service or memorial service.
That's so nice. So how long would your service take? Is it the same as a normal one, or is it at the church, or at the burial plot, or
it's really anywhere the family wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly recommend they use the funeral home, because the funeral home building was designed for the family and friends to gather,
mm-hmm,
and feel comfortable in a setting where there was enough seating for everyone and they could feel not intruded by outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
They have private space.
Mm-hmm.
But there are families that do like to go to a restaurant or to...
You do that there too?
I've gone to restaurant.
Do you actually make the presentation, or does a family member?
I do the presentation.
So you go and...
And others sometimes participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some family members say, well, Uncle Joe wants to say something, and I work with Uncle Joe and find out what he's going to say so that I don't step on what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done services where I've incorporated as many as 13 speakers.
Wow.
And quite extraordinary. But for the most part, I'm the only speaker. And I bring the story. I bring that person's music.
That's
because
nice.
not everybody's singing Abide With Me.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Frampton has been at a funeral.
Cute.
But everybody likes a different music venue,
mm-hmm,
you know, a different style of music. And I'm happy to bring that in. And I really do a lot of work on lyrics to make sure that it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wanted me to bring Patsy Cline. She loved Patsy Cline, and she used to vacuum to Patsy Cline. And I really couldn't bring I'm Crazy for Loving You.
That's so funny. Yeah, you got to take, you know, really take it in and think about it.
You have to stop and think
it.
About the words.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful to be able to honor somebody by talking about who they really are
and
why
must
they're
connected. Service because they're too busy and they don't even know where to start. And some
yeah.
people can't write and they don't want to stand in front of people and they're grieving
exactly.
and all these different reasons that.
And if they are going to a church, some stories are not appropriate for in a church from an altar.
Mm-hmm.
It's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're grieving, sometimes you don't realize what you're saying up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so much easier to be able to sift and sort and bring to the table what's truly honoring and appropriate.
What regions do you service as far as your, you know?
I go all over New Jersey, up into New York, and into eastern Pennsylvania.
And what about, like, I thought I saw something about weddings and different celebrations.
Oh, this is the craziest thing.
We have, like, 2 minutes before the break.
This is the craziest thing. After a funeral one time, somebody came up to me and said, you do weddings too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there like, I just did a funeral. They said, yeah, but you do weddings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing weddings. I got the appropriate paperwork to be ordained, and I started doing storytelling weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody called me and said, we want you to christen our baby. And it's like, but why? And they said, well, the grandmothers are fighting. One says Catholic, one says Methodist.
Yeah.
And
they were going to
come to blows, and somebody said, call that woman that married Lynn. So in an age where we have multi-denominational families,
mm-hmm,
it becomes more and more important to have somebody that knows how to work through all of them and find the common thread,
mm-hmm,
so that everybody gets what they need,
mm-hmm,
and no one is offended.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Hold on for a second here. It's Talented People. It's 4:43 already on Wednesday, April 6th. I'm Jeannie Murphy, as you know. Thanks so much for listening in. And we've got a quick break again. It's actually, we skipped through the news and weather because I thought it was so interesting to let our guest, Ruth Ann Brown, speak about her celebration of a lifetime and the work that she does, and really, honestly, where she started and how she got to what she's doing today, which I think is fascinating. And I mean, obviously, there is certainly a reason to want to hear more. So we're going to go to our break. There's just three quick commercials, less than 2 minutes, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins. jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Thanks for listening in during the commercial break there, and thanks to our sponsors here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. This is Talented People. I want to remind everybody that we're having a conversation right now, I am, with Ruth Ann Brown of Celebration of a Lifetime. It's been really interesting learning about where she came from and what she's doing. I also want to mention that she's going to be having a breakout session with the Women's Leadership Summit 2016 at the Ryland Inn in White House Station, New Jersey. It's going to be on Tuesday, April 19th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And she's going to be talking about how to create a business network with a colleague of hers, Judy, as she goes by, M. Gold from Coldwell Banker Residential. And so welcome back, and thanks again, Ruth Ann, for hanging in there while we gave all that update to everybody
no
and for
problem.
All your listeners. All right, we have a couple things that we want to make sure everybody gets to know before we go to the end of the show. I want to hear about your Habitat initiatives, also about your radio show, and a little bit more just to sum up all the work that you're doing, doing what you are with the celebrating of life and a celebrant, you call yourself,
yeah.
To people when they're in need, if they just want to have a wedding or baby or celebration.
I just love my work now. It's very interesting. And it's never been the same day twice, which is really cool. But to be able to have a balance in there is very nice. Funerals are my heart and soul. And I just have a deep affection for the grieving family.
Did you ever end up marrying a funeral director?
I did not.
Oh, because you said you committed to
one.
Not do it. That's funny. Okay. I was dying to know the answer. I kept
forgetting
that.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
That's funny.
I never married one. I became one.
Oh, my gosh.
But I love funeral work. It's home to me. And I love being there for somebody and getting them from point A to point B in one piece. And I've worn a lot of different hats to do that, and the life celebrant hat is a very special place to be. To be able to help bring the family from the deathbed back into the life of the person and recall for them that they had a ringside seat on a very special life. And it's exciting to know that we share the planet with a lot of interesting people. I just meet so many of them 2 days too late.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, do you ever work with people who say, I know I'm going to die, and this is something I want you to talk about? Like, do you ever do
yes.
that, too?
I've done that. I've had people who've gone and made their pre-arrangement because they were dying
mm-hmm.
and knew that they wanted to have a unique funeral, and the funeral home called me and said, you're perfect for this family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd call, and I remember this one woman in particular was dying of cancer. I went to her home and went to her bedroom and sat by her bed, and we had the most candid conversation about how she felt about her life,
mm-hmm.
and how she felt about her family. And it was a wonderful opportunity at her funeral to share with her two sons what they meant to her.
Oh, I bet. That would be so beautiful.
Yeah. It was.
It must have been so surprising to them. And it's like, you know.
And it was.
Probably never would have known if it weren't handled by you or something outside.
It was so fulfilling for her, too. Mm-hmm. Because she felt like she could still do something good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she was going through the most tragic point of her life. To feel like she could take these last moments and give them back to her family. And nurture them one last time, even after she's gone.
That's beautiful.
So it was just a wonderful opportunity to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm happy to talk to people who are in an awkward situation like that and just want to make sure that everything is done the way they would want it done.
And, like, peacefully at the end of the day, like being
yes.
left on peaceful terms.
Sometimes they just want to reassure everybody that I'm fine,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything's okay. And be this and do that and honor me this way. And really, that's truly the most wonderful way we can honor someone
mm-hmm.
is to take the finest quality of that person and let it be one of our qualities.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love Peter Frampton. I'm just thinking about how cool that is that you actually brought that up, because to have something that's not just a generic service, it just means so much more. It sounds
yeah.
like a really wonderful, I can't even believe you were saying that it's really just a new trendy thing, even after 10 years on the East Coast here. I think it would be something that would be almost like wanted. And that's why we're doing this today.
It's one of those things that is becoming more wanted,
mm-hmm.
but we have to wait for the people that want it to have somebody in their life that dies.
Right,
so
right. Yeah.
It's one of those, you just have to keep sowing seed
mm-hmm.
and of awareness that there is an option,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people still don't know there's an option.
They would never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because of that work, though, when the Chamber developed this radio station and wanted radio hosts, it dawned on me that I meet so many people 2 days too late. Why don't I have a show where I bring people in and introduce them to the world now? And that's how we got Ruth Ann's Celebration Hour. And I've been doing that since almost the inception of the radio station. I'm one of the first hosts that came on board. And it has been an exciting time to be able to bring people into the studio and interview them and let everybody know who they are. And how special is that? Because everybody's life is different. And the path that they take to get to where they are is unique.
What kind of guests do you have on your show?
Oh, and soup to nuts, young to old.
Mm-hmm.
I have business people on my show, but I have people who are not only entrepreneurs, but inventors. I have writers. I have high school kids that are overachievers and just crazy good with inventive creativity. I have musicians on my show at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have musicians on my show, I do a 2-hour show because I'm the last slot of the day.
Right.
So I take 2 hours so that I have enough time to interview them and play their music.
Which is nice.
And that's just a treat for me mm-hmm. to be a jock for musicians. It's like, you know, let me do this. This
yeah.
is great. So it's a very interesting panoramic view of things. And I love to be able to offer nonprofits an opportunity to come in and talk about their fundraising efforts,
mm-hmm.
which I did this past Monday. I brought Habitat for Humanity in, and they're doing a great fundraiser next month on May 14th up in Washington, up 31 at Hawk Point Golf.
My dear friend, Golf Rich Cotton, one of my best, close friends from, like, high school years.
Really?
Yeah.
And what a nice facility they have there.
It's beautiful.
And Beams and Dreams is happening, and it is a three-ring circus
of fun.
That's
the perfect place to have that, Beams
yeah.
and Dreams. How cute.
Mm-hmm. Going to have live entertainment with Eric Kearns, who sings in the voice of so many entertainers, and have auction off some live auction stuff. Have some raffles and a 50-50 and gourmet buffet. So
that's so nice. So real, what date is that?
Really good deal. May 14th.
Okay.
And all the information is on warrenhabitat.org.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage your listeners to go there and check that out. Tickets are flying off the table, and we just really want to make sure everybody that wants to come has an opportunity to do that. and businesses, there's still a limited opportunity for them to jump on board and be a part of that if they want an advertising opportunity or want to sponsor. That'd be wonderful, too. So.
Absolutely. So many reasons to do that, especially with Habitat. So just a quick question for you. Where, what time and what dates are your radio shows?
My radio show is on Monday at 4 o'clock. It's Ruth Ann's Celebration. You're 4 o'clock. I'm 5 o'clock. Boy.
You come in at 5 o'clock? 5 to 6, 6, 7?
5 to 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 6 on Mondays. Ruth Ann's Celebration Hour.
Okay.
And delighted to have people tell me who they think I should interview. That's fine. Find me on Facebook. Ruth Ann's Celebration Hour is on Facebook. And I post all my guests there. If you go into the photos and see a face you like, click on that picture. You'll find a link to the show, the show's recording, so that you can hear that show.
What about last minute? I want to let everybody know again that you're going to be having a breakout session at the Women's Leadership Summit on it's Tuesday at the Ryland Inn on April 19th from 8 to 2. You can still sign up if you want to attend at the 100inchamber.org website. It's going to be a great day. One of my really awesome colleagues, Michelle Sikirka, CEO of NJBIA, is going to be the keynote speaker. And then it's just packed all day with women that were inspirational, have stories like you, Ruth Ann. Is there anything else you want to leave everybody with today? And I just want to thank everyone before we let her end our show again for listening and to listen next week. We've got two great more guests, women from the Women's Leadership Forum, coming on next Wednesday, 3 to 4, 4 to 5. So,
well, I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and hang out with you. This is really nice to be on the other side of the soundboard. And I do hope that businesswomen will come out to the Leadership Summit. And Judy and I would love to be able to talk to them about creating a network within your business so that you can have a more successful business. So love to have some fun.
Can you give us just a little teaser as to what you're going to be sharing?
Oh, you know,
you got about a minute.
It's important to know who you are and how to talk about yourself and to not be afraid of stepping out and introducing yourself to somebody new. So get ready to learn how to do an elevator pitch because we're going to have a good time.
That sounds like a good time. It's going to be a great event, as a matter of fact. So, again, thank you all so much for listening in to Talented People. On behalf of Colleen Kelly and I at Mariah Media, we thank you and have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
I'm not gonna do something that's going to be an affront right now to John Kasich. Wow. He's a good governor of Ohio, and he's running, and it's up to him.
GOP Chairman Reince Priebus speaking about John Kasich and his third-place showing in yesterday's Wisconsin primary. Both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump want Kasich to drop out of the race, but Kasich says a new poll shows he's the only candidate who could beat a Democrat in the general election. Priebus says Kasich can do what he wants, but what he will confirm is an outsider will not sweep into the convention to grab the nomination.
I believe the candidate, our nominee is going to be someone running. And as far as this Paul Ryan talk, let me just say it again for the 10th time. Number one, he's not running. Number two, he doesn't want to.
Donald Trump is expected to win the next GOP primary, which is in New York State in about 2 weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative, At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
From USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
The statistics provided by a group called the National Abortion Federation. Its numbers show a dramatic increase in death threats, harassment, and other acts of violence against its members in 2015. The group saying it identified more than 25,000 incidents in a six-week period, beginning in mid-November of last year, estimating more than 100,000 threats were made over the course of the entire year. I'm Chris Barnes.
New Jersey's Newark Liberty International Airport wants Uber and Lyft drivers to pay to pick people up in their city. Sarah Lee Kessler has the details.
First, Newark tried to ban Uber and Lyft drivers. That didn't work. So now city officials want drivers to fork over $1,000 a year for the right to take passengers to and from Newark Liberty Airport and Newark Penn Station. Drivers for the app-based car services are outraged, saying the proposal is a money-making scheme dreamed up to placate cabbies. They plan to rally this afternoon as the Newark City Council meets to discuss the measure.
The final season of American Idol coming to an end. Past and present judges and contestants gathering during last night's reflective episode to reminisce about the impact the show's had on them and America. They